You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Grand prognostications about Africa seem to surface every few years. Headlines like Why Africa Can Thrive Like Asia, or Africa Rising, or Africa is Becoming the New China and India seek to will into being the continent's tremendous potential. So far, they've been off the mark, though. Yet some believe that this time is different, thanks largely because of the African Continental Free Trade Area, especially for corporates and SMEs. And I'm joined by Dr. Lyle White, the founding senior director of the Johannesburg Business School based at the University of Johannesburg, and also associate professor in international business with a focus on comparative political economy and strategy in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. So Dr. White, very well positioned to view this comparison between Africa and Asia. And you recently wrote a very interesting op-ed in the Business Day on this topic. Good evening. Let's just tackle the bad news first for Africa. Clearly the pandemic is going to devastate things like tourism and many other sectors. What's the likely impact on Africa's economic growth trajectory going to be as a result of COVID-19?
Yeah, good evening, Michael. Yeah, it's a very, very interesting story looking at what the impact of COVID-19 and this crisis is going to have on Africa, because obviously, like the rest of the world, Africa has now become part of the global value chain, part of the global market. More and more people over the last 15 to 20 years have woken up and seen the opportunities. We heard about the fastest growth, or the best growth decade on African history, or in history, over that decade between 2000 and 2010. And just at that moment when Africa was looking to meet all these great expectations, we were hit by a slight kind of slowdown in growth around the 2013, 2014 mark, and then obviously COVID-19. And by virtue of its connectedness, we're going to be part of the downturn in economic growth and projections. Right now, it's looking like GDP will probably contract between 3 and 5%. So that's -3% and 5% in 2020, and it might even go further in 2021. So it is looking a little bit scary. But as we've said with most things around COVID, it offers us a unique opportunity, because there's that reset button that we can push. And that reset button in the case of Africa is looking at adding greater value by African organizations and African innovations. And I think maybe this is an opportune time for us to relook at the type or the nature of economic development that we want on the African continent.
And that really speaks to the broad aims of the African Continental Free Trade Area. It's something that has been in discussion in some guise or form or idea or another for decades now, Dr. White. But it does look like this AFCTA, the African Continental Free Trade Area, is gaining a certain traction. It's got the political buy-in, and we see the Secretary General, our very own Wamkele Mene, promising that we'll see our first commercial deal signed by as early as January of next year. That's despite the delays brought about by COVID-19. For listeners, perhaps it's best just to dial it back, though. What makes the African Continental Free Trade Area so alluring and so different compared with previous ideas?
It is a very, very interesting free trade area, each of which, because it's the largest one in the world, Michael. It's largest by membership numbers, not by GDP. Obviously, the GDP of the collection is around $3.4 trillion, 1.3 billion people across 55 countries. That's clearly the most, the largest, and obviously the most ambitious free trade area of any of its kinds around the world. But as you mentioned, it's an enormously ambitious initiative. It's been spoken about among business people, among policymakers, for literally decades. And we've struggled with sub-regional blocks going forward. I mean, we know about the sub-regional blocks of SADC, ECOWAS, the EAC, which is the East African Community, which is the most progressed form of regional integration. But, Michael, what is most interesting for us right now is that it's gone beyond the talk shops. It's gone beyond these conferences and gatherings to talk about regional integration. And we've got real businesses conducting real transactions that are involved in this agreement. And that's why it's interesting what you mentioned. We are looking at the first transactions and the first real trade taking place in January 2021. Yes, this is a delay. We are expecting these things to kick off because obviously the AFCTA, which is the acronym, the African Free free trade area. That was, launched in March 2018 and was expected to have kicked off by July this year. For obvious reasons, it didn't. But by January 2021, we're expecting to see the first trade and transaction. And that is all important. It's gone beyond this talk of regional integration to transactional activities, to real connectedness, to the movement of goods, services, and obviously people going forward. This is why it's so exciting right now.
And that is exciting because that kind of economic integration, we've seen it happen all over the world, intra-continental trade being a big part of trade in Europe, in Asia, in Latin and North America, but we see very low penetration levels when it comes to intracontinental trade across the African continent. And one can just imagine the delays in getting goods across borders where either it's the infrastructure that's poor, it's bureaucracy that ties goods up, or it's the fact that we don't have a common labeling or health and safety standards across different countries as well. What do you see here as the big challenges, but equally the big opportunity in the African continental free trade area for SMEs here in South Africa?
Yeah, and Michael, the challenges remain, and we've been talking about them and pondering them for years now, and I don't think they've disappeared. So you mentioned some of them, infrastructure. It's also, a political will and a kind of a, let's call it a like-mindedness around regional integration or free trade areas. There's always this rivalry. You know, we always spoke about Africa. The biggest problem in Africa is that we didn't really focus too much on trading between ourselves. And this is obviously a legacy of colonialism. We always looked at trying to trade with others outside. So we didn't build a capacity. We didn't scale our operations. And therein lies the first opportunity for small and medium-sized businesses. At the Johannesburg Business School, this is one of the things that we really do focus on, is growing and scaling small and medium-sized businesses. This happens through connecting businesses, connecting people, and through regional integration. You must remember, Michael, that our countries, our economies across Africa individually are literally worth very little. They are tiny economies. They are micro economies compared to other global markets around the world. The size of a mid-range or large-sized economy in Africa, let's call it Kenya, is a similar size to that of Uruguay, a tiny economy in the Latin American context. Countries need to integrate in Africa to create larger markets, to create larger economies, and to build scale. Countries and markets will build scale, and in turn, companies that are operating in those markets will be able to scale up and improve their competitiveness to operate in other markets. We can broaden our horizons as small and medium-sized businesses. They can operate initially in their immediate localized markets, but through regional integration and through very, very particular measures, and this is important because obviously these measures were not in place before, but measures that will be facilitated through an Africa-wide free trade area can help us grow and scale small businesses to become medium-sized businesses and ultimately large businesses that will compete with others around the world on a global scale.
On the other side of this, Dr. White, we have seen in response to COVID-19, many countries, as a knee-jerk, protect their industries and draw up the bridge, so to speak. I think many governments adopting temporary policies, we hope temporary, that discourage integrated trade, such as implementing export restrictions, for example. Curtailing the movement of goods and certainly closing borders has also done that. How likely are these to dissipate as the threat of COVID-19 dissipates? Or is there a real threat that many of these protectionist policies remain in place and potentially become a stumbling block to the African continental free trade area?
Yeah, the short-sightedness could be a default of many countries in Africa. And I do agree this is a major concern and it's going to be an ongoing challenge. The default that we talk about is really let's just protect ourselves and let's look inward and try and then try weather the storm and ride through it. Unfortunately, this is not going to really bring about any type of progress for not only the companies that are operating there, but the citizens that are in those countries that are looking at protectionist measures. It is short-sighted. And we see this as well with heavy taxes and high tariff rates. And obviously as well when we travel between borders, and I'm sure many of your listeners have crossed borders across the continent and have seen how difficult it can be at times. Often it's not just a matter of having a free trade area. You need to implement physical connectedness and allow for One such example is a one-stop border post to allow yourself to move these things across borders and to eventually become a little bit like the European Union, where a border is less than a blink when you drive in between the countries. So what we need to look at and need to be mindful of is the uncertainty and the fear that many countries have, and maybe many of the small companies have, when they are looking at scaling and when we in this time of uncertainty. Growth will come through connectedness, but we need to also remember or be mindful that we need to build competitiveness that is beyond our immediate markets. That will be sustainable. So the only way we can look, or the only option for us here in Africa, is to develop better connectedness between countries, better connectedness between companies, and obviously connectedness between individuals themselves. Encourage people to move between borders, because that will encourage a deeper sense of competitiveness and obviously a deeper or greater sustainability in terms of our economic development. We need to also start looking, Michael, at economic development not as something that is prescribed through policy, but that will be facilitated through the pistons of economic growth, that being the companies. Small and medium-sized companies, and this is for the first time we are seeing this spoken about and developed through the Africa-wide free trade area, are going to become part of regional integration. These will be the tangibles, or the transactions that they actually conduct will be the tangibles that allow for further integration and further connectedness of African countries and African citizens.
And that is certainly how they managed to achieve the runaway success that they had in Asia. And if we do follow that route, it is why Africa can thrive like Asia, not just become another one of those throwaway headlines. Dr. Lyle White, the founding senior director of the Johannesburg Business School, based at the University of Johannesburg, with his views on the African continental free trade area and clear signs of progress that do offer certain glimmers of hope.